Welcome to 43rd and Woodland, the intersection where family and science forge together. I'm Jared Hunter, class of 2016.
And I am Sean Ahern, class of 2019, and we are your hosts. Excited to bring you another episode for your personal and professional development.
To round out our July series titled Proven Everywhere, we'll be sitting down with alumni who took non-traditional paths either during or after their time at U Sciences.
And with that, just like Jared said, we're wrapping up, and I would say, best but not least, we have Mayank Amin joining us today. Mayank, welcome.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. And Mayank is actually the owner and chief patient advocate at Skipback Pharmacy, located in the Villanova area within Philadelphia. So with that, Mayank, would love to hear how you started at U Sciences and a little bit about your background.
I had heard about U Sciences through a few friends who were older than me that had gone to the school. I heard some things before going in there that kind of were like the buzzwords of the university. Mm-hmm. And being so close to the university, for me, it was an opportunity to add that to my list of universities I was applying to. I applied to a lot of different schools throughout the tri-state area. My goal was to become a pharmacist after I decided that I wanted to go into health, and I got accepted to U Sciences. For me, it was a no-brainer. I wanted a school that was small, where I wouldn't just be a number amongst thousands of students. Came from a high school, North Penn, in the suburbs here that has 3,000 students. 1,300 students were just in my graduating class. So I didn't want to get lost in the number when I came out to U Sciences, and I wanted to make an impact. And hopefully through my education and the other things that I was doing there at the university, during and even afterwards, I was able to make that impact.
That's awesome. I know you mentioned you graduated class of 2009 within the pharmacy program. Tell us a little bit about some of the experiences that you had while you were on campus.
So when I came into the university, the first year I came there, I really didn't know what it was like to live in the city and being in the suburbs all my life. I knew Philadelphia was there. I went to the city every here and there, but the environment was awesome in the sense that you had so many universities right next to you. We had something called the USP van at that time. So anywhere we wanted to go, literally at Penn, Drexel, Center City, we'd give them a call. They'd pick us up. There was an Uber at that time.
Right.
You could say the USP van was the Uber, except we knew that she was like a security guard for the university, and she would always come pick us up, take us everywhere. We were able to really enjoy our time. Obviously, the studying aspect was there. I can't say I'm the brightest of the bunch. I'm not the smartest student. Mm-hmm. If anything, I tried to balance out the educational aspect with enjoying the experience because it comes once, and I actually still wish I could be at school, even though I'm 10 years out now. I extended going to school by going to business school after graduating from pharmacy school. So I got another extra 3, but at some point I had to say, all right, I can't keep going to school just because it's fun. I found a way to have fun while at U Sciences. And throughout this conversation, I might refer to it as USP because that's what it was called before. Mm-hmm. During my freshman year, it was coming in there, meeting a lot of people. And like I said, there wasn't that many students in our class. So within your cohort, you pretty much know every single person because those are going to be the 500 or 400 people in the beginning that are there with you throughout the years that you're there. So those are your best friend. Those are your family. You're spending day and night, and you literally see each other many times a day, even if you don't want to.
Yeah.
So that was a cool experience of us connecting with each other and then being able to do different things and excel. It's because we had that close proximity to each other. So it's like, let's do something even bigger than that and create. And that's what we did. We created some cool things.
I think that van is still around, Sean, isn't it? Is that?
That's what I was going to say. I never actually heard of the USP van, but we had the UPenn shuttles.
Maybe that's so what I'm
They would come and pick us up all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Was there also the UPenn shuttles when you were there, Mayank? Or was it just the USP van? First time I heard it.
There's something about the USP van that just kind of outdoes the UPenn. The USP van was just a little bit cooler.
That's fair. That's a good point. So you mentioned some of the things that you created on campus. Can you talk to us about some of the things that you started while you were at U Sciences?
I never intended to start anything. It just happened. I love to dance. At that time, there was a big club scene. Yes, there was definitely fraternities, sororities. And I never got to live in a dorm. So because I was close enough to the city, one of my really good friends was living at a house right by campus. I literally lived with a bunch of seniors and people who were already enrolled in the pharmacy program in different years. A lot of them had an entertainment background. I had a DJ. I had dancers that were in the house. And I was never into the whole alcohol or drugs. I sell drugs, as you can see, the pharmacy. So those are all legal drugs to patients with prescriptions, of course. But having that house and the roommates kind of made that whole experience of, I love entertainment. I love dancing. And that whole dance aspect, a whole bunch of our friends got together. Why don't we create a dance team at USP? And I come from Indian descent. My parents are from India. While I was born here, the largest movie industry in the world is Bollywood. Mm-hmm. And there's literally tons of movies, and a majority of the movies are about dancing. So we loved Bollywood music, and a lot of schools throughout the country had Bollywood dance teams. USP had one, but it was a girls-only dance team called Maya. So I was like, why not make a guys-only dance team? Lo and behold, we came up with the idea, practiced a lot, and we started a team called USP The Mall. I think as much time as I spent studying, I put into that team in terms of practicing, because in the beginning, we had people that could not bounce to a rhythm, but they wanted to dance. I actually learned the whole idea of not giving up on someone just because they don't know how to do something in the beginning. We had a ton of people that tried out and that wanted to dance with us. Not to say that we're professional dancers and they weren't, but it's hard to teach something to somebody that barely can walk in rhythm. But nonetheless, like, that became our family. Our dancing became a sport indirectly. I still remember in our beginning years, I went down to student affairs or somewhere, wherever they decide about your classes, and sports teams got exempt from having to do gym class. So I was like, we practice as much as the sports teams. We're performing at competitions throughout the country. What if I ask for exemption for our dancers? And they gave it to us. So a part of our dance group basically didn't have to take gym class for a certain period of time because we got exempt. So in the end, it was really cool. We would take fan buses with us, buses packed with students. They'd have fan gear. They'd have all these instruments and like noisemakers to cheer us on when we were competing at shows. And we went across the country. And this was kind of like the first time that a dance team, for example, at USP was able to do that. And it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. And I think that dance team is still around, right? Or is it under a different name now?
There's a couple new teams out. With our team, as we finished and we started realizing that we did not have enough time, fifth year of pharmacy school, because it was just out of control, the amount of studying that we had to do, that's when we kind of hung our jerseys on the rafter and say, let's retire.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. And it just kind of shows that if you have a mindset that you really want to enjoy your time, but also do something which will leave a lasting impact, you just put the two together and work with a group of people that you can call friends and family, and you'll really be able to make a difference. And we told our story through dancing, not just locally in Philadelphia, but throughout the country. And that was all during pharmacy school. So it was a challenge, but it was a good challenge that we were able to do that. And I really appreciate like our deans and the president for really supporting us, because they could have easily said, no, we're not going to fund you or help you out with any of this. But they did the other way around. They said, you know what, you have a brilliant idea here. Why don't we help and support you?
The career, quote unquote, that you had while you were at USciences is definitely incredible. It's like jam packed with a bunch of really cool things. But I mean, you've done a lot of other things even outside of USP, we'll call it. I'll try and keep it consistent for you. We were just talking about the fact that you started your own wedding planning business and you were an extra in the last Airbender movie a few years ago. Like, tell us about what some of those experiences outside of USP or your healthcare field were like for you.
So I think the 6 years that I had at USP really taught me how to manage my time. I cut back on some of the things. I don't watch TV, sleep 8 hours. I don't do those right now because I think I have other things that I want to accomplish at the moment. But my experiences and learning opportunities that I had while at the school of starting a team, we also started a youth organization, which still exists today. It's called BAPS Student Group. So it was a religious group that kind of inspired and motivated Hindu youth at the university to live better, more positive lives. So we were the first group of BAPS in the entire country. And 40 other universities throughout the country replicated what we had started at our university. And now there's like 60 or 70 different campuses throughout the country that have that BAPS student group, awesome. Universities. And that was all started right out of our school. Managing a dance team, this student group, and obviously the rigorous coursework showed me that if you put your heart behind something, you can really do it. And you might not plan to do all these things in your life, but at any given moment, some opportunity can walk by your path. And when it comes, I'm a firm believer that you just grab it. That's kind of been a lot of the experiences I've had from being a stand-in double for Dev Patel in The Last Airbender. I never thought that I was going to get a call from a casting director when I was on my last rotation of pharmacy school. I was at the hospital doing a rotation, got a call from the director, and I thought it was a prank call. went in. They took some headshots and other pictures, and I ended up getting an opportunity that people that don't have any acting experience do not get. There was literally a line of hundreds of people that were applying and trying to do this, and I literally walked right by them because I already had an interconnect with the casting director. That opportunity may not have existed if I didn't have this dance team and professional headshots and all these other things, but hey, it came, and there's even a little action figurine that I got to be a 3D model for in that film. Not something that I ever imagined that there's a toy going to be out there that's 3D rendered, my body figure and face, but there is. So it was kind of a cool thing. And
yeah, I got to find that toy.
If you find one, get one for me too, because
yeah,
I still don't have one.
Really? I was thinking you'd have them all over your pharmacy, right?
Right, yeah. I would.
You get more exposure to the right people and they'll guide you. While I was on set, I was observing so many different things of how a 15-second scene in a movie takes so much work. The lighting, the camera, the angles, the director. There's like 100 people taking care of 5 people on set and everything that goes into it. So nothing worth having actually comes without you putting a lot of effort. Behind a $250 million film, there's literally thousands of moving parts and pieces. And I also learned from going on set that you come in there with a start time, but you don't make plans for the rest of the day because there's no end time until M. Night Shyamalan says cut.
Right.
It wasn't like, all right, friends, I'll see you at 6 o'clock because it's a 9 to 5. We're going to be done. Nope. That's kind of where I've adapted this mentality of, all right, I'm going to go into the pharmacy at this hour, or I'm going to start this couple's wedding at this time, and I'll end when it has to end. So a lot of these little learnings have helped me, and that's kind of helped gear some of my other creations within the last 5 years of wedding planning company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about that. I mean, that at this point obviously is a little bit different because folks aren't having weddings, but what has that process been like? It's not something that many people just kind of jump into.
And having no actual experience in wedding planning, like
right, yeah.
I was in business school after graduating from pharmacy school, and we had to come up with a class project of an innovation of some sort. For me, it was an event company because I always loved events. I threw parties in college. So I was like, all right, what's the difference between throwing a college party and throwing a wedding? Mm-hmm. And being a perfectionist, I feel like those qualities usually help anyone that's throwing an event or a wedding. You want someone that's a perfectionist. So my idea was, let me innovate and come up with a cool event and wedding management company. And that's what I did. It was a class project, actually coordinated a wedding. It was a friend's wedding. So I was like, all right, I'm going to take care of this and then put together some pictures of us in action at the event and then show it to the rest of my classmates, show them the business plan, et cetera, get an A and call it a day. That turned into, I went to the wedding. The other bridesmaids, groomsmen loved us and they loved what we did. And a lot of people ended up asking me if I could plan their wedding. And I had mentioned to them that it was just a class project, not a business of mine. And enough people asked where I was like, you know what? Maybe I should look into this. Follow your passion. Don't follow the money. Follow things that make you happy. And for me, it was an awesome experience to see that how happy that couple was at the end of the night when, you know, they were so thankful for what we did for them. And I clearly didn't even know what I was doing that day because it was the first time I ever threw a wedding. That led me on to actually create the company, which is called Platinum Dream Events. And we've put together hundreds of events throughout the country and actually throughout the world. We just planned and coordinated a wedding in Mexico. I went to Mexico 3 times last year to help the couple. And then at the end, we threw them a big party. We've actually put together a lot of USB couples' weddings too, which is a lot of fun. When you have a USB bride and groom and you are a USB pharmacist and you're their wedding planner. It seems really odd that a pharmacist wedding planner from USB is throwing 2 pharmacists that graduated from USB's wedding. But it's happened many times and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it makes you go back to the time when you're on Concessing, just being the DJ and hosting the parties there, you know? Yeah. Just kind of transfer over to actual wedding planning after that and getting paid for it.
Do you ever actually DJ at the weddings too?
No, I don't. I let the DJs do their work. It's awesome just watching them. I got to hold back from dancing though, because being a professional, you don't want to see the wedding planner start breaking it down. Being part of the whole professionalism aspect, there's ways to have fun, and we just wait till everyone leaves before we start jamming out.
Nice.
Of course. There you go. You shed some light on following the passion, which is huge. And I think it's a great deal and something that we've learned a lot about in this Proven Everywhere series. But after completing pharmacy school to jumping into wedding planning, explain a little bit about that adversity or any pushback when you decided to jump onto wedding planning.
I would say with the whole aspect of doing something outside of what your profession is, you'll definitely get some kickback from a lot of people. I even actually got it at school. At that time, there was somebody that told me that, hey, if you continue to do all this, like in terms of spending so much time behind your dance team, the student group, everything else you're doing, you're probably not going to make it in school. And I took that as, you know, someone's kind of challenging me in the sense that they think that I'm not going to do it. So let me prove them wrong. And I did. Even after that, you know, the hardest part was convincing family that it's okay that I went to 6 years of school, spend a couple hundred thousand dollars, and that I was going to switch gears and then go into something completely opposite, which did not require my pharmacy degree. But over time, the people around you start accepting it because that's what makes you unique and different. That's part of your story. If I end up working and not enjoying what I'm doing, or if I'm working and not having fun, then I feel like the 12 hours, 16 hours, 18 hours that I put into a day, I feel like they're a complete waste. Why I also tell students that are rotating at my pharmacy today, pick something that you actually enjoy doing. Because if you're doing it for the money, you'll realize quick, yes, I love patients, but in the beginning, it's like, what kind of job am I going to get that pays me the most that can help me pay off my loans? A lot of students out there, some that might be listening, this might be your thing. Let me find the highest paying job. But sometimes you never get out of that. I just spoke to a pharmacist today, and I used to work with that pharmacist. They weren't really happy with their job at that time. And it's 15 years later now. And I still hear that unhappiness in their voice. Yeah. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, why are you still doing this? You initially did it for the money, and then you just got hooked, and now you're just stuck. Why I believe in chasing your dream, not chasing the dollar. Because if you chase your dream and you truly enjoy what you do, the dollars will come. If you're really good at something and it's your passion, you're gonna make money doing that. You don't have to even worry about it. Maybe in the beginning, it might not come, but it eventually comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to make sure that obviously we talk about the fact that you have also started your own pharmacy. So tell us a little bit about Skipback Pharmacy and like how that started and where you are now with it.
Once again, another passion project. Nothing I thought if I looked at my to-do list in my life, that was never a dream. I wanted to be a dancer. I wanted to be in movies. I wanted to do everything else. I did not want to be a retail pharmacist. I was at Walgreens for many years and I did so many different things with the company. I appreciate everything, all the opportunities they gave me, but I did not want to do that. I find myself going out doing things that are outside of the box. I ended up having an opportunity because for me, there was a pharmacy that closed down right by my house. I saw a sign that said this pharmacy had closed down and everyone in town was kind of trying to grab those patients to come to their pharmacy. I observed, I did some research behind the pharmacy that closed and I saw them like struggling when they saw red signs on the doors. Like they didn't comprehend that this pharmacy just closed down after 50 years. I saw that pain, that struggle. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do something in my life and I'm going to do it for them. This was my opportunity to basically stand up for this community. And that's why Skipback Pharmacy has become the community's pharmacy. We're trying to represent independent pharmacies and this industry that's sadly dying. You Google independent pharmacy plus closing, and you'll see that there's a pharmacy closing every day in this country. Some of them 50 years old, some of them 100 years old. And the reason is there's a lot of wrongdoing that's happening out there. I never knew about a lot of the things that were happening, but now I have a voice. Now I have my story to share, and now I'm going to go out there and tell everybody about what's happening. I didn't go to USP and spend $200,000 so I could come out, dispense a prescription, and lose $300 on that prescription times 12 months. But those are some of the things that the world needs to know about. I might not make money here at this pharmacy. I might spend 18 hours a day here. But when you're passionate about something, I don't care about the money because I care about these people. I care about these human beings. That's where small business stands up, says, you know what? I don't care about that person's money. Indirectly, we're doing this because we care about people. And that whole aspect of caring kind of came back from my days at USP. We were in a neighborhood where there were a lot of people struggling. We had the opportunity to do a lot of things. Those experiences kind of changed my mindset in the aspect of when you go out there in the world, don't just do something that's going to fill your pockets with money. Do something that's going to actually make a difference out there and actually care about the human being. And that's the aspect we're creating here at Skipback Pharmacy.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, Mayank. And I feel like you went the non-traditional route in just outside of pharmacy and then went to the non-traditional route within pharmacy. Like you were saying, pharmacies are closing every day. To see what you're doing, especially when there's people that are saying, oh, you can't open up a small community pharmacy anymore. That's why the big chains are there. So you making a difference there is incredible for the community that's around you. And just to highlight too, and like you said, you're not doing it for the fame or anything like that, but I followed you personally. You being on the news and what you've posted of helping out with personal protective equipment for helping out with COVID. And the things that Skip Pack Pharmacy has done is truly incredible. So again, just want to thank you for what you've done too. And I'm sure many people are supporting you along the way.
The goal at the end of the day is to care for the person. Like, there's awards and things that come. That's whatever. That's just they're honoring you. And hopefully you can inspire somebody else with that. Our goal at the end of the day is to actually do something positive that they haven't really experienced. There's a lot of people out there that I've, you know, horror stories.
Yeah.
And I've had people come in here and cry because they're that happy that we're open. And they know what we're doing. They know our mission here is that we're trying to transform the way that people view their pharmacy. You can't put a value to the impact. You can't put a value to a patient who's paralyzed, nearly in tears, that you came to her house to give her a flu shot because nobody else would do it. There's no monetary value to that.
Wow.
So these stories, you know, like, are being told throughout our area. They're telling each other about it. I would love to make a movie about the independent experience and how, you know, what can come together when a community of thousands of people say, you know what, for once I'm going to support these small businesses, even if they don't have 10,000 stores, or even if I might have to pay a little bit extra because I'm not preferred on their insurance plan. That's the story we're going to create here.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that's on my to-do list. I don't have too many things on my to-do list.
Yeah.
That's one of the things on the list that one day I want to do a documentary, maybe a Netflix show or something about the story of small business and what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. And Mayank, I think you shared some incredible advice throughout the entire podcast of, again, following your passion is not all about the money, but just wanted to give you another opportunity. Is there any additional advice you think you would give to either a student that's at U Sciences or at any university or even outside of college, maybe thinking about chasing that passion that they want to obtain?
Watch and listen to a lot of TED Talks and surround yourself with people who are trying to change the world. You're going to have negative Nancys out there that are going to say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're wasting your time. I feel like the company that you keep kind of shapes who you are. Keeping a lot of positive friends, people that are doing big things in this world. Doesn't have to be like big as in it's seen on TV, but impactful things. And I think I surrounded myself with those kind of people at USP. Mm-hmm. And the teachers at the university, they were my biggest resource. They are free to help us out. You don't have to pay them to get their input on something. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to pay the past president of the university to write me a recommendation letter to get into a business school. Mm-hmm. But when that dean of another school sees that the president of a university wrote you a recommendation letter, they're not going to say no to this person, even if they didn't meet the GMAT requirements or whatever it is. You're in, because if that president has positive and good things to say about you, but what difference can you make for their university? So I would say for anyone that's listening that's currently in school, reach out to your teachers, reach out to your peers, reach out to alumni. Don't be scared. When I was at Pfizer, I worked there for a little bit as well. I emailed the CEO of Pfizer. That email address is available to our employees. I was like, I don't know if he's going to respond, but I just want to have a conversation with him. And guess what? I had breakfast with him. I was part of a small group that ended up having breakfast with a lot of the executives at Pfizer. And you get your name and face in front of them just to find out what kind of books are you reading right now, or what got you to this point in your life. You know you're not getting a job by doing anything like that, but they're going to spend some time with you because no one really asks those questions to them. And you're being different, and I think different is the thing right now. A lot of students, if you just go the traditional route in pharmacy nowadays, initially you could get thousands of dollars of bonuses coming out of pharmacy school and going to work for a pharmacy or a pharma company. Mm-hmm. Now you're fighting for that job against 500 other students. The grades are definitely important, but if you don't separate yourself otherwise, you're going to get cut. And there's just a lot of people doing different things out there. And that's why I think the non-traditional aspect of pharmacy is going to be the normal. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't end up doing something of that sort, not saying you have to go out and be a wedding planner or anything crazy of that sort, but even within your own field, do something that you can actually change the way it's normally done.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And even being a trailblazer, and like you said, finding these different experiences that make you well-rounded. I tell everybody now that GPA doesn't define you. Like you were saying, those non-traditional routes, those experiences is something that truly makes you who you are and kind of why you've done what you've been doing, which is great. But Mayank, really appreciate both Jared and I of taking the time to be on this podcast. We know that you have a bunch of patients to treat after this. We don't want to hold you up anymore. So we definitely want to get around to our last question. But with every guest that we have on this podcast, we ask, what is their favorite U Sciences memory? And on top of that, after you answer that question, Since you have a crazy non-traditional path, if you could just share maybe one memory that sticks out to you about your non-traditional path.
So it was my fifth year of pharmacy school. I was in a class where I had a D, and I was about to go into my last exam. And you fail, you have to retake the class. You weren't going to get kicked out of school, but you'd have to retake the class. So I was outside of the old gym. I don't know if that's where they still take exams, but I was there.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
I had called one of my mentors, and I asked him, like, give me some kind of motivation. They said, listen, you've fallen down. Your grades are bad because of whatever reason. You're not used to studying. But just like a little child that's fallen down, you have the opportunity to stand up. That child gets up, tries, and then he's eventually able to crawl and then eventually able to walk. Likewise, you've fallen down and you're that child. You need to get back up and you need to get up now because you got one chance. I walked in there like with the Rocky theme music playing in my head, thinking that, all right, I'm about to knock this exam out. And I did. I passed that exam. It was one of the biggest challenges, you could say, because I might not have been a pharmacist if I didn't pass that exam. Mm-hmm. That happened a lot in the fifth year of pharmacy school where you're constantly like with your boxing gloves trying to get through because it's tough, especially if you haven't really focused in terms of the aspect of studying. You have to learn how to study sometimes. I did not learn how to study because the first 4 years, I didn't put my 110% into the studying aspect. And I would tell students, don't wait till the last year to learn how to do that. Otherwise, you'll be trying to be Rocky every single time you go on an exam because you're struggling in that aspect. That was one of the most memorable school moments outside of school was when we were on stage competing at a dance competition. And there was schools like UPenn, Rutgers, UCLA, some of the top-notch schools in the country. All those dance teams were on stage and our entourage of fans were there and they were all just shouting USP, USP. And it was our time to, like, everyone was on the stage. They were going to announce whoever won the competition, the dance competition. And we looked around on the stage. There was about 12 of us dancers, our manager. And when they said, and the winner is USP, the mall, we just went berserk. It was our first time ever winning. And from that moment, we ended up winning 5 more dance competitions. And that year, we were ranked the top South Asian dance team in the country.
Wow.
But it was that moment of like, oh my God, these guys are really cheering us on and winning. I mean, at the end of the day, winning is awesome. It's an awesome feeling. Whether it's on your exam, at a dance competition, or whatever you do in life, even like helping a patient, that's a small win. When you leave that patient's house and they have a smile on their face, that's a win. I think every moment we have an opportunity to win. So to all those listening, keep winning.
Well, I think that that is the perfect way for us to end this episode. Mayank, seriously, Sean and I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. We know that you've got a million and one other things to do. So we want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us during this episode.
Thank you both. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks so much again to Mayank for taking the time to sit down and chat with us about all of his incredible work through Skep Back Pharmacy, Platinum Dream Events, and just radiating positive vibes in a world that really needs it right now. His focus on community, care, and people in the face of adversity in his local small business is a strong testament to the idea of being proven everywhere.
Absolutely. And please be sure to keep following those positive vibes through all of Mayank's social media platforms. You can follow him on Instagram at MayankAmin, at Platinum Dream Events, and at Skip Pack Pharmacy, which actually recently featured this episode on their story. So huge shout out to Skip Pack Pharmacy. You can also reach out to Mayank through LinkedIn or Facebook by just searching his name.
And take a second, if you haven't done so already, to also sign up for USciences Nexus at nexus.usciences.edu. It's a new virtual platform just for USciences alum to connect professionally and personally, and it's an amazing resource for anyone looking to build new relationships, find mentors or jobs, or just stay connected to old friends and faculty. And also, be on the lookout for an upcoming email from the University Alumni Office for upcoming events, including a panel discussion featuring healthcare professionals in hospital settings on August 20th, and another panel discussion highlighting Mishra College alumni, like myself, on September 2nd.
Awesome, and we hope to see you both there at those amazing events. Thanks again, everyone, for listening, and talk soon.
Thanks.